Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.
David Sterrett is the former chair of the New York Film Critics Circle and National Society of Film Critics, contributing writer at Cineast, film professor at the Maryland Institute College of Art, and Robin Hood Radio's very own critic. He joins us weekly, the films Conclave, Memoir of a Snail, and Strange Darling.
I'd like to talk about three movies today that are so different from each other, it's hard to even suggest how different they are. But I think that everyone will find out. First of all, Conclave. I have to say Conclave is one of the best films I've seen in a while. It's not a masterpiece. It's not one of the great movies of recent times, but it's a really good, solid film. And I really had a good time watching it. Very, very interesting. So here's what it's about. At the very, very beginning of this movie, the Pope dies. So, sad beginning, okay. On the other hand, he was a very old guy, and people were sort of expecting it. But the Pope is now dead, and that means that there has to be a conclave of all of the cardinals who will come from all over the world and assemble in the Vatican to vote on and select a new Pope. And that, of course, is a very famous process. And after each ballot, they burn the ballots in a furnace, and the smoke goes up either black, which means that nobody has been elected yet, or white, which signals to the world that there is a new pope who will be announced shortly, and so forth. So the dean, as he is called, who has to organize this and put this conclave together and sort of run the show, is a cardinal played by the great actor Ralph Fiennes. And he is an English liberal, at least he's British, and he's the one who's in charge of this whole show. And that means he has to organize all kinds of things and also deal with various relationships among the different cardinals who are under his overseeing. And I'll just tell you who a few of those are. One is an American. His last name is Bellini, but even though he's of Italian descent, he is American, and he is played by Stanley Tucci, one of the best performances by Stanley Tucci I have ever seen. He's excellent. And he is a real liberal. He's an American, and he's from the real sort of leftist side of the College of Cardinals. And it looks like he just really might get the vote, but then things don't really go his way. And it turns out that he's sort of slipping, and then he has to decide who he's going to maybe throw his support to if he's not going to be the one elected. Another is a Canadian cardinal who is very conservative, the opposite of the Stanley Tucci cardinal. And this Canadian conservative is played by John Lithgow. Again, he's such an excellent actor, and this is just such a wonderful performance. Tucci and Lithgow, along with Fiennes, give top drawer performances in this film. And there are others too. For example, there's an Italian who really believes in the traditions, who wishes that the old Latin mass would come back. And of course, this being about the College of Cardinals, this movie is really dominated by men. Almost everybody is a man. However, Isabella Rossellini is there. The cardinals need a woman to sort of take care of things, take care of the food, and take care of the housekeeping and so forth. And that's a character played by the wonderful Isabella Rossellini. And there's at least one other woman who plays, you know, a somewhat important role in the unfolding of the story. And then there are various other cardinals who we get to know along the way. So, big cast of characters, but the movie makes it very plain who these people are, and you can always follow the story and keep the personality straight. The movie is admirable in that respect. Now, there's one more cardinal who I haven't mentioned yet, and that is, he's played by Carlos Diaz, and he is a Latino Archbishop who has been, of all things, the Archbishop of Kabul in Afghanistan. So here we have a Latino cardinal who has been the Archbishop of the capital of Afghanistan. Very, very odd. And he turns out to be a very important figure in the story. He emerges at the beginning as a kind of a controversial figure because it turns out that the Pope appointed him as a cardinal in secret. So now, yeah, okay, are we going to accept him or not? Is he really a cardinal? Well, we guess he is. As the movie goes along, he turns out to be a fairly important cardinal in the College of Cardinals. And at the end of the film, he is at the center of a huge twist that takes place at the very end of the film, which I will only say this much, which involves gender. And that's a big surprise because, as I said, this movie is mainly dominated by men, and that big twist comes at the end. So the criticism of Conclave that some critics have had is that the material, it's basically sort of a thriller, and that the material, it has a sort of a pulpy sort of a feeling to it, and that there's sort of a cheapness to certain aspects of it. Okay, I will concede that. However, this movie is about important issues in the world, and it deals with them in an intelligent and dialogue-driven way. Yes, there are certain sort of slight little action movie elements. There are explosions going off in the city. It turns out that there are terrorists at work, and that sort of impinges on the story in certain ways. Yeah, maybe it's not gracefully introduced. But for the most part, this movie is intelligent. It's people talking about the kinds of things that serious grown-ups really talk about. And it expects us in the audience to be serious and to listen to it and to pay attention to it and to think about the different issues, the conservatives, the traditionalists, the liberals. How do we feel about their different stances as they relate to religion and as they relate to other issues in the world? So it's an intelligent and thoughtful and beautifully produced movie. And I had a really, really, really good time watching it. I really recommend it. If you want to see a movie for once that really has some intelligence to it, again, it is not perfect, but it really has things to say about the world. It introduces us to interesting religious issues, I think, or it may introduce some people to these issues. Other people think about them all the time. And I always think that religion is an important area for culture to deal with, not because I'm a believer in this direction or that direction, but because thinking about the supernatural in a broad sense, about the religious, about the divine, can open up your thinking instead of what so much culture does, which is to close off our thinking. So I really recommend Conclave as an intelligent movie where people talk about important things, and it's also very entertaining and beautifully acted. Conclave, best movie I've seen in quite a while. As I said earlier, I'd like to talk about three very different movies today, so let us turn to an animation. Memoir of a Snail. Yep, funny title, the kind of title that you might come across in an animation. This was written and directed by Adam Elliott. And it's really kind of unusual, not unique, but unusual among animations, because it is very bittersweet, and a lot of it is just one downer after another. What we have here is a woman. She is a very sad woman, our main character. Her name is Grace Puddle, and she loves snails, and she even wears little snail eyes on the top of her head. And she loves other things too, but her main love in life is snails. And she just seems to have a sad life in so many ways. Things go wrong for her. Things go wrong for her and her family. Things go wrong with her outside her family. Just one thing after another seems to happen that just goes wrong. She gets bullied by kids at school. She has a brother who tries to defend her, but he can't always manage that. She really loves her own pet snails, but things don't always go wrong with them. Then she and her brother are separated and sent off to foster homes in completely different parts of the country. I should mention this is a Canadian film. An Australian film. I misspoke there. So now she's separated from her beloved brother. Then she gets some horrible, horrible news about her brother. Oh my gosh, so many things just go wrong. And all of this is set out in, you know, animation, which is really, really well done. This is basically a claymation movie, a stop motion movie. And it's really nicely done. There's not a whole lot of talking in it, although there is certainly some. Most of the movie is voiceover narration. In fact, almost the whole movie, not the whole movie, but almost all of it is voiceover narration by Grace. So that means that the filmmakers don't have to coordinate a whole lot of dialogue with clay animation. But it's okay. It works pretty well. If you can just sort of ignore the fact that hardly anybody in the movie is actually talking and we're mostly having a story told to us on the soundtrack, it works reasonably well. Now, I keep saying about how this movie is such a downer. There are so many just unhappy things that happen along the way. Okay, by the end of the movie, we have turned to the word which I think is being used by everybody, including me, to describe this movie, bittersweet. which means the movie has a whole lot of bitterness in it, yes, but it also has a certain amount of sweetness in it. And by the end, the sweetness, we might say, comes to predominate. So that is very nice. I was glad about that. Most of the way, though, you have to look out for this film. I would not take a very young child to this film because it is a very sad film in so many ways. And it just shows and portrays and deals with and depicts so many of the things that can go wrong in an ordinary person's life. Also, our main character, Grace, or Gracie as she is sometimes called, is not the strongest person in the world. And she always seems to get laid low by these bad things that happen to her. She makes a friend, a very close friend, a very dear friend, but the friend is a really, really, really old woman. Grace is a young woman, a girl at first, and then a young woman. And her old, old friend, of course, dies the first thing in the movie, although then we get a lot of flashbacks. So she is an important character in the film, but we have that too. We have the idea of what if your best friend is somebody who is really, really older than you and who is also just eventually going to get sick and die, and does dementia, elderly senior citizen dementia is another thing that this movie deals with. So what is that like for somebody? Also, what is it like when you have a brother who you love, 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 and then is taken to live in a very distant place and you have no contact, and then you get horrible news about that brother? So these are the kinds of things that abound in Memoir of a Snail. Why watch Memoir of a Snail? Well, you might not want to, but good reasons to watch it include the fact that it is beautifully animated. It is nicely put together. Sarah Snook is the main voice that we hear throughout. Of course, she's a very gifted actor. So you have things like that going for it. And it is an interesting story, an absorbing story, even if it's often a very sad story. So if you're in the mood for animation, stop motion animation, claymation animation, which I tend to like a lot, then go for Memoir of a Snail. If, on the other hand, you want to avoid a movie which is bittersweet with maybe more bitter than sweet, then maybe Memoir of a Snail is not the movie for you. In any case, it's a very inventive and daring kind of animation, and it intrigued me. Finally, look, we're in the Halloween season here, so we got to talk about at least one horror movie. And I want to talk about Strange Darling, a new movie written and directed by J.T. Mulner. And I have extremely mixed feelings about this film. So it announces itself in the opening titles as being a thriller in 6 chapters. Okay. So then once the opening titles are over, what comes on the screen but a great big text saying chapter 3. So we know at the get-go that we are going to have 6 chapters here, and we also know that we're starting somewhere around the middle of the story. And yep, we're right in the middle of some pretty harrowing action. There is a woman, and she is running and running and escaping and escaping, and there's a man who is chasing her in a car and then who is shooting at her with a rifle. So okay, there's the beginning of the story. Then, of course, eventually we get to the various other chapters, not in the order that we would expect numerically, and we find out what's going on here, or we sort of find out what's going on. Because this is one of these movies, one of these horror movies, one of these thrillers that depends extraordinarily much on twists and turns. So I am about to say something which is very trite and hackneyed and cliched. Things are not what they seem. Throughout almost all this movie, we're finding out that one thing after another is not what it seemed. Some things are exactly what they seem, but a whole lot of things are not. And along the way, we have to kind of put the pieces together and figure out what might be the next big twist. Old-fashioned horror movies didn't rely on twists. They relied more on things like menace and suspense. This movie certainly has those elements, but oh, it has got a whole lot of twists. So if you don't want a movie which is just overloaded with things being not what they seem, then maybe this is not the movie for you. The main character, the woman who we see running away at the very beginning, is played by Willa Fitzgerald. We never find out her name. She is known only in the credits as the lady. A really good performance. She's really, really good. She's really solid. She does very, very well. The man who was chasing her and shooting her in the beginning, who is known in the credits only as the demon, played by Kyle Gallner, also, you know, a good performance. He gets the job done. I want to mention a couple of supporting players who have secondary roles in the movie, minor roles, but they're important. Ed Begley Jr., who seems to show up in everything and who is a really good actor, and Barbara Hershey, who's been around for about 1,000 years, and Ed Begley Jr. and Barbara Hershey played, well, at one point they identify themselves as old hippies, although he says actually they're more like old bikers. In any case, they're important secondary characters, and they show up a couple of times at key moments in the story. But mainly we have The Demon and the Lady, played by Kyle Gallner and Willa Fitzgerald. And we have all of this menacing. And by the way, and this I haven't mentioned now, my most important point, we have a lot of violence. This movie's violent. This movie's bloody. This movie has all kinds of horrific things happen one after another. I recently saw another very good horror movie called Red Rooms, which is also streaming, and which I like a lot better than Strange Darling. And it deals with a horrific crime, but it shows almost no violence at all. So it can be done, even nowadays. You can have a good, solid, thoughtful horror movie that shows very little violence, and Red Rooms is that movie. Strange Darling is the other movie. It's the one that is not only strange, but has all kinds of horrific violence in it. So look out if that's what you don't want. But if you want a movie that really delivers on the violence, and by the way, the sort of kinky sex as well, then Strange Darling might be the movie for you. So again, I have mixed feelings. A very well-acted movie, a beautifully photographed movie, and by the way, the cinematography was done by Giovanni Ribisi, who's mainly a very, very good actor. Turns out he can run a camera, too. But mainly, I like the cinematography. I like the acting. I wasn't so crazy about a lot of the violence. It really is over the top, but overloaded with twists and turns. So that is my somewhat Halloween-y story this week.
For which we thank you, as ever and always, David Sterrett, Films in Focus, the film's Conclave, Memoir of a Snail, and Strange Darling.
Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.